If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Ausperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
So Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is at the White House right now. They were going to have a big press conference in the East Room, but they've decided now to just have an Oval Office press conference. So that's going to be happening. It could happen any time. Whenever it does happen, of course, we'll bring it to you live. There's a lot to chat about. The president said a lot on Air Force One last night as well. Now, if he comes out, see, Israel said that they were going to do zero tariffs on the United States of America. But initially, we said that we were going to be doing, we were still going to keep the tariffs in place on Israel. So I think that, here's my guess, the market is assuming that the president's going to come out and say, Israel's agreed to zero tariffs, so we're doing zero tariffs. And then you're going to see a market, you're going to see a market rush, which would be great. That'd be a good thing. I think NASDAQ and the S&P 500 are both anticipating that, which is why they're in the green at the moment. But it's been a crazy day in the market today. Earlier this morning, there was a rumor. I don't know who started it, who spread it, or what, but there was somebody who was saying that the Trump administration was going to put a 90-day pause on all this, and the market rallied, and then they said that's fake news, and then the market didn't rally. The market, no. You can't hear me now?
Okay. Did you hear your talk show host Bruce compared President Trump to Neville Chamberlain? The former Prime Minister of appeasement of Hitler? That's right, Neville Chamberlain. Spadia said Trump was, quote, beaten. He's tired. Trump gave, quote, the Neville Chamberlain speech tonight. He would have been better off resigning, unquote. Trump resign? Not a chance. Spadia is a disgrace. Now listen to Spadia attack Trump.
President Trump failed. His presidency was a failure. I do not want President Trump to run again.
Bill Spadia compares President Trump to Neville Chamberlain? Calls him a failure? In the Republican primary for governor, vote no to Bill Spadia. Paid for by Kitchen Table Conservatives, Inc. Not authorized or made with the cooperation or prior consent of or in consultation with or at the request or suggestion of any candidate or any person or committee acting on behalf of any candidate. P.O. Box 2891, Springfield, Virginia 22152.
Have you subscribed to our YouTube channel yet? Do it today at 1210 WPHT.
Sorry about that. A little technical glitch, but we're back. All right, so that's my prediction is what's happening right now in the markets is that they're anticipating that the president's going to come out and say, okay, great, so Israel is going to do zero tariffs, we'll do zero tariffs, and then everybody wins. Because if that happens, then that's great, and then that's a sign, the market's going to look at that and say that's a sign that that's what's going to happen with other countries. So any harmful tariffs on America, because there's been 50-plus countries that have called the White House, and obviously those meetings all need to be happening and conversations are happening, then they'll look at that and they'll say, this is what's going to ensue with these other countries as well, and then great. So then the market's going to have a super big rally. That's my prediction. Now, if the president doesn't say that today, if he doesn't say that there's going to be zero tariffs on Israel, if that just is ignored or doesn't come up, or he says we're going to keep holding the line, whatever, then that might be a different situation. Then the market may panic even more and say, well, then, you know, what can these countries do? It's not just simply making their tariffs equal to the tariffs. It's not just a zero-zero, you know, there's obviously more to it here, in which case then the goalposts have moved, in which case then the market's going to get rattled again. So that's kind of where we are right now on this Monday, a little bit after 3 p.m., with the president waiting to speak and saying, be patient, don't panic. And I don't think there's not a lot of panic yet. There's a couple things that make people worry, like oil dropping $60 a barrel sounds great in theory because it means, hey, we're going to get cheaper gas. But it also is a signal that people think there might be an impending recession happening. So, of course, that's not good. So we don't want that. Now, there's a couple things that need to happen right away. And that is taxes need to be cut. Regulations need to be slashed. All these things need to happen immediately. And what I'm worried about is that Congress is, as usual, taking its sweet time and not doing that. And then we're going to have a problem. So that needs to happen as well, like ASAP. But today's not nearly as bad of a day as some people were wondering. Like on Friday, you know, Jim Cramer over at CNBC was basically saying that Monday was going to be Black Monday again, 1987 all over again. And it was going to be, you know, one of the worst Mondays in history. So I think people were going into today watching the opening bell this morning at 9:30. Thinking that by 9:45 it was going to be an absolute market collapse, and that didn't happen. I mean, it's down. The Dow's down, the S&P's up, and the Nasdaq's up, or at least it was, you know, last time I checked. It's been a crazy day. Like I said, it's been all over the place, but it has not turned into a Black Monday. It has not turned into a complete market crash like some were thinking it was going to at the start of the trading today on Wall Street. And I watched the opening bell ring, and it was Dollar Tree, I think, rang the opening bell today. And I kept thinking, well, that's ironic, the Dollar Tree, because, you know, if this doesn't all work out, we could all just be basically shopping there. But I think it's going to be okay. And I keep saying that, you know, we got to give us a little bit of time here and let it be okay. But that said, Congress needs to act, and they need to act. And the president, I think, should announce some big wins here, like announce some wins, announce a win. Hey, Israel said we're going zero tariff, so we're going to go zero tariff on them. Everybody wins. That would be huge. That happens today. That happens if the president makes that announcement and says they've announced zero tariffs on us, then zero tariffs on them. That would be fantastic because that'll be a sign of things to come and a message to all the other countries around the world, which is that if they get rid of their tariffs, we get rid of ours. And then everybody's good, and then things will soar. That's how I see it. That's how I'm reading this as I sit here right now. And then Vietnam, for example, which is also has sent a delegation to the United States to negotiate, the EU is also doing the same. A lot of these countries now are turning around and saying, all right, what do we got to do here to make this go away? Well, before we get into some bad stuff here. So what do we got to do? I think if the president can announce that with Netanyahu today, side by side, the two countries have just ended any trade barriers. Fantastic. And that would be good. I mean, it's not as if it's a big ask here because we're trying to help Israel. We're trying to be friends with Israel and we're trying to do everything we can to possibly be an ally to them. So it would be an easy win in terms of the trade deficit. It's not like we really have a bad trade deficit right now with Israel. We don't really have to worry too much about that. So that's where I see this going as the show begins today. And I hope that I'm right, because I think the market is hoping that as well. And I know that there are people out there who are getting nervous. I just don't want to give Democrats any openings, as you can imagine, going into any elections coming up. I don't want to give them any openings. I'm not really worried about our economy crashing. I told you that last week. We've got a strong economy on our hands, and there's a lot of people that want to do business in America. So they want to do business here. Now, today the president said if China retaliates with more tariffs, because China is now threatening a 34% tariff, retaliatory tariff, then the president's going to go to 50%. Remember, in his first term, he put in 25% tariffs. If you are somebody who is a conspiracy theorist, as they were called, now you're just called somebody who's just paying attention, you remember a little thing called COVID-19. COVID-19, we were told in 2020, came from an undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. It turns out it actually came from a lab in Wuhan, China. And the timing of that was suspicious because it originally first showed its ugly head in the fall of 2019 when the American military was over in China for the Military World Games. And these are healthy guys, young, healthy men, and probably some women. I don't really know, but they were young, healthy, fit people, so it didn't impact them. People in Wuhan got sick. That was the first time. China hid it. China lied. And it wasn't until the winter of 2020 where we would learn about COVID-19 because of everything that was happening. But by then, it was way too late. China had already spread it. Milan, Italy was getting hit. It was becoming ground zero. And you know the rest of the story. But there are some people that wonder if COVID-19 just accidentally escaped from the laboratory, like on the back of somebody's shoe, like a piece of toilet paper, or if China released COVID-19 in retaliation to Donald Trump for the tariffs that he imposed on China because they wanted to get rid of the guy. Now, we'll never know because whatever evidence was in that lab has disappeared a long time ago, obviously. But the tariffs that the president put in his first term on China, 25% tariffs on China, now China is retaliating to the new tariffs. And he says, if that's the case, then we're going to add 50% tariffs on top of you, which then is going to be a very interesting situation. But good news for Vietnam, because if Vietnam, who has now said that they're sending a delegation here, remember, a lot of American companies, after the tariffs were put on China back in the first term, move their manufacturing from China to Vietnam. Now, ideally, it would have been nice if they moved them to the United States of America. But there's a lot of other global companies out there that they didn't move to the U.S., but they moved their operations to Vietnam. So if Vietnam drops their tariffs to zero, because the president pointed out in his chart, you know, it's 90%. Of course, the calculation is a little bit kind of interesting how they get there, but for another day. 46% is what the president imposed on them. If they say we're going to go to zero and the United States goes to zero, that is also going to cause incredible market relief and also going to be a major win. It'll be a big win. Because he can turn around and he can say, you see, an unfair trade practice just went away. And Vietnam is also doing the following things to ensure that America can compete and sell our goods to Vietnam. Whatever trade barriers they put in have gone away. And this is a big win. And then these companies that moved from China because of the 25% tariffs in the first term and then set up manufacturing there, they'll take a sigh of relief. The stock market will take a sigh of relief and may even rally in a big way. I mean, that's the other thing, too, is that I know it's a snapshot in time. And for the most part, yeah, unless you're at retirement age or you've retired and you didn't move your money out of the market, so your money's still in the market, which some people have done. Yeah, for the most part, market goes down. You think, all right, good. So this is an opportunity. Then we're going to be buying here. And then at some point, it's going to go back up. But, you know, the president is speaking with Netanyahu in the Oval Office right now. Why don't we jump in? I might be a second ahead of you guys. Am I a second ahead, Justin?
Together.
We had meetings together
along with his very capable staff. And I think we've come up to some pretty good solutions and conclusions. And we'll be working a little bit after this, and then I assume you're going back home.
Yes, sir.
This is a quick stop, in and out. But we appreciate you being here, and we are a friend of Israel, as you know. I would say that I'm by far the best president that Israel has ever even thought of seeing. And it's an honor to be so, and to be so thought of many friends in Israel. They are not in an easy area. It doesn't go easy, but we are helping them. And likewise, they've been helping us very much. And so we'll see how it all works out. But we had great discussions today, I think, on the obvious subject of Iran and also the less obvious subject with respect to Israel, and that's trade. And I think the Prime Minister is going to tell you a little bit about trade and what they're doing for the United States. So I want to thank you all for being here. Thank you very much. And
thank you.
Benjamin, thank you very much.
Thank you, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Dom. Thank you. Mr. President, I want to first thank you for inviting me again to the White House. You've been a remarkable friend of the state of Israel. You stand by us. You're standing with us. You are a great, great champion of our lives. And you actually do the things that you say you do. And I think that people respect that enormously. I certainly do, and the people of Israel do, and I think the Jewish people do as well. We just saw your representative in the Department of Justice fighting anti-Semitism, standing up for Israel in international forums. I just want you to know from the heart, it's deeply, deeply appreciated. As you said, we had the opportunity to talk today about many subjects. First, if I can mention tariffs, it's a subject of some interest today. I can tell you that I said to the President a very simple thing. We will eliminate the trade deficit with the United States. We intend to do it very quickly. We think it's the right thing to do.
Right.
And we're going to also eliminate trade barriers, a variety of trade barriers that have been put up unnecessarily. And I think Israel can serve as a model for many countries who ought to do the same. I recognize the position of the United States. It says, you know, we're allowing other countries to put tariffs on us, but we don't put tariffs on them. And, you know, I'm a free trade champion, and free trade has to be fair trade. And I think that's basically the position that you've put forward, Mr. President. We are going to eliminate the tariffs, and rapidly. I had the opportunity to speak to Secretary Lutnick yesterday. We talked about how we could effect this quickly, and I hope to bring the solution very quickly. We're not talking about intentions. We're not talking about, you know, just words. We're talking about results. And those results are going to come. That's the first
thank point. You very much. It's very nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. President, what about the hostages here?
Well,
I didn't finish.
We spoke about not only the hostages, but about Gaza. The hostages, obviously, is a human story of just unbearable agony. I speak to the families. I spoke to them yesterday. I spoke to another one when I was in Hungary before I came here. I speak to them every day. They're in agony. The hostages are in agony. And we want to get them all out. Steve Witkoff, who's President Trump's very able representative, helped us get a deal that got 25 out. We're working now on another deal that we hope will succeed. And we're committed to getting all the hostages out, but also eliminating the evil tyranny of Hamas in Gaza, and enabling the people of Gaza to freely make a choice to go wherever they want. I mean, they should have that choice. And the president put forward a vision, a bold vision, which we discussed as well, including the countries that might be amenable and are amenable to accepting Palestinians of their free choice if they choose to go there. And I think that's the second thing that we discussed. But the hostages came right on top. We also discussed the situation in Syria. We've had neighborly relations with Turkey that have deteriorated, and we don't want to see Syria being used by anyone, including Turkey, as a base for attack in Israel. Turkey is a country that has a great relationship with the United States. The president has a relationship with the leader of Turkey. We discussed how we can avoid this conflict in a variety of ways, and I think we can't have a better interlocutor than the President of the United States for this purpose. And, of course, we also discussed Iran. Look, we're both united in the goal that Iran does not ever get nuclear weapons. If it can be done diplomatically in a full way, the way it was done in Libya, I think that would be a good thing. But whatever happens, we have to make sure that Iran does not have nuclear weapons. That's the end of my speech.
We're having direct talks with Iran, and they've started. It'll go on Saturday. We have a very big meeting, and we'll see what can happen. And I think everybody agrees that doing a deal would be preferable to doing the obvious. And the obvious is not something that I want to be involved with, or frankly, that Israel wants to be involved with if they can avoid it. So we're going to see if we can avoid it. But it's getting to be very dangerous territory. And hopefully those talks will be successful. And I think it would be in Iran's best interest if they are successful. We hope that's going to happen. And we had just a lot of good talks on a lot of things. I appreciate very much what you said about the tariffs. We've been ripped off and taken advantage of by many countries over the years, and can't do it anymore. Just can't do it anymore. Can't be the stupid people anymore. And it's all because of the people that sat in the seat right here. Not your seat, but this seat. They allowed things to happen to our country that they shouldn't have allowed to happen on trade and other things, many other things. I mean, look at what's happened with our last president, where he allowed millions of people to come into our country with an open border. Who would want an open border? How stupid was that? But he allowed millions and millions of people, and of the millions, and I think it was 21 million people, but let's say three of them were serious criminals, serious murderers and drug dealers and gang members and people from jails. All the jails emptied out right into our country, right along the open border on Mexico, generally the Mexico. Okay. They came in from Canada, too, by the way, a lot. But generally speaking, on the southern border. And what a shame it is that we are now working very hard to get them out, get the criminals out, get the murderers out, the drug dealers, the mentally insane, get them out. They dropped the mentally insane in our country, too. And this was all done by the Biden administration. It's a disgrace that we have to work so hard. And then we have judges that try and protect these people. But they didn't protect us when the people were being let in. But to get them out is never easy with these people. So I think we're doing a great job. The border is the best it's ever been. It's even as strong as it was, I had a great, solid border. I think it might even be tougher right now and stronger. So people are coming into our country, but they're coming in legally. We have a legal process, and we have that moving along properly because we need people to come into our country. But we want people that can love our country and cherish our country. So that's where we are. And with that, any questions?
Mr. President, to the markets today, and would you be open to a pause in tariffs to allow for negotiations?
Well, we're not looking at that. We have many, many countries that are coming to negotiate deals with us, and they're going to be fair deals. And in certain cases, they're going to be paying substantial tariffs. There'll be fair deals. As you know, I spoke this morning with the Prime Minister of Japan, and we had a very good conversation. They're coming. And I said, one thing, you're going to have to open up your country, because we sold no cars, like zero cars in Japan, and they sold millions of cars into our country. They don't really take our agriculture, a little bit of it, just to keep us slightly happy, but they don't take what they're supposed to be taking. So we have a great relationship with Japan. We're going to keep it that way, but they're coming in to meet, and other countries are coming in. With China, as you know, against my statement, they put a 34% tariff on above what their ridiculous tariffs were already. And I said, if that tariff isn't removed by tomorrow at 12 o'clock, we're putting a 50% tariff on above the tariffs that we put on. So they've gone for years. They've become a rich country because of people, again, that were in the White House that allowed this to happen. Hundreds of billions of dollars a year they'd make on us on trade, and it shouldn't be that way. And I have a great relationship with President Xi. I hope it's going to stay that way. I have great respect for China. But they can't do this. We're going to have one shot at this, and no other president's going to do this, what I'm doing. And I'll tell you what, it's an honor to do it, because we have been just destroyed what they've done to our system. You know, we have $36 trillion of debt for a reason.
And the reason is that people allowed it to get that way. So we'll be talking to China. We'll be talking to a lot of different countries. And I think, you know, if we can make a really fair deal and a good deal for the United States, not a good deal for others. This is America first. It's now America first. And we didn't put America first. We put America last. The people that were in the Oval Office put America last, and we're not going to stand for it. Yeah.
Two questions. Do you expect any of these deals to be made before April 9th? And secondly, there have been some mixed messages from your administration. You're talking about negotiations, and yet others in your administration are saying that these tariffs are actually permanent. What is the action?
Well, it could be. It can both be true. There can be permanent tariffs, and there can also be negotiations, because there are things that we need beyond tariffs. We need open borders. You know, we almost had a deal with China where we're going to open up China. It was almost done. Some of you remember it during my first term. And it was very disappointing. We ended up making a great deal. $50 billion worth of product was sold. $50 billion. You'd like that in Israel. And I made that deal. But it wasn't the deal that I wanted. It was the deal that I wanted was that plus they're going to open up China so that our companies could go into China and compete with other countries and China for the, you know, for a large number of people. And at the very end, that deal was terminated, and we went to a piece of the deal. And there are a lot of things outside of tariffs, but tariffs are very important. But there are a lot of things like opening up countries that were totally closed. China's essentially a closed country. In fact, it is a closed country. And what they do is they charge tariffs so that if you sell cars or if you sell anything, nobody's going to buy it because the price is out of control. But that's true with a lot of other countries also. So we're going to get fair deals and good deals with every country. And if we don't, we're going to have nothing to do with them. They're not going to be allowed to participate in the United States. This gentleman is all day long.
Mr. President, many of Palestinian Americans who voted for you and not for Biden because you've promised them to end the war in Gaza.
Very honored by that vote, too.
The war is still going on and there's no hostage deal. Do you have any update on that?
Well, I'd like to see the war stop, and I think the war will stop at some point that won't be in the too distant future. Right now we have a problem with hostages. We're trying to get the hostages out. We got quite a few of them out, but it's a long process. It shouldn't be that long. We have a big problem that we've done. I think I'll ask Pete to maybe talk about it for a second, because a lot of people are asking. The Houthis, we've been very tough and very successful militarily. We've really damaged them badly. These were people shooting down ships and other things, by the way. Flying objects like airplanes, and we've put a major hurt on the Houthis, which nobody's been able to do. We've really hit them hard, and they know it, and they don't know what to do, and it's every night after night, and we've gotten many of their leaders and their experts on missiles. I mean, they actually make missiles. Nobody thought that. But they make missiles. They're highly sophisticated, and they're very tough, but they've been very badly damaged. Nobody else was able to do that but us. Pete, you want to discuss that, please?
Yes, sir. Well, it's been a bad 3 weeks for the Houthis, and it's about to get worse. It's been a devastating campaign, whether it's underground facilities, weapons manufacturing, bunkers, troops in the open, air defense assets. We are not going to relent. And it's only to get more unrelenting until the Houthis declare they will stop shooting at our ships. And we've been very clear at the Iranians as well. They should not continue to provide support to the Houthis. And that message has been made very clear. So we have a lot more options and a lot more pressure to apply. And we know, because we see the reports, how devastating this campaign has been in them. And we will not relent.
We have a great military. There's no military like our military. And despite Biden having given a lot, but nevertheless a pretty small piece, but it was a lot of our military away in Afghanistan in one of the dumbest situations, I think, and maybe the most embarrassing situation we've ever been involved in, that short period of time in Afghanistan. What a disgrace that was, but left a lot of our military behind. Left. You see them in their annual parades where they're parading trucks that are armor plated and different things that they kept. But it's many billions of dollars we left behind. But despite that, we have a tremendous military. That was a very small portion because we rebuilt the military during my first term. And we have great things happening with our military. We also essentially approved a budget, which is in the facility. You'll like to hear this, of $1 trillion. And nobody's seen anything like it. We have to build our military, and we're very cost conscious, but the military is something that we have to build and we have to be strong, because you got a lot of bad forces out there now. So we're going to be approving a budget, and I'm proud to say, actually, the biggest one we've ever done for the military. We're cutting other things that were under DOGE, but under a lot of other. When you look at a woman getting $2 billion for environmental, and it had nothing to do with environmental, and they had $100 in the bank and they give her $2 billion, many, many of those cases, all that stuff is going to be cut out. But we are getting a very, very powerful military. We have things under order now, the likes of which we've never had before. We've never had the kind of aircraft, the kind of missiles, anything that we have ordered. And it's in many ways too bad that we have to do it, because hopefully we're not going to have to use it. But the military is very, very powerful, and it's going to remain that way.
How do you, Mr. President?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to ask you about Iran, because this is the first time we hear that the U.S. is having a direct contact with the Iranians. Is it possible to give us some more information at what level it's the U.S. is represented?
High level. Very high level, yeah. And we're dealing with the Iranians. We have a very big meeting on Saturday, and we're dealing with them directly. You know, a lot of people say, oh, maybe you're going through surrogates, or you're not dealing directly, you're dealing through other countries. No, we're dealing with them directly, and maybe a deal is going to be made. That'd be great. It'd be really great for Iran, I can tell you that. But hopefully, we're not going to have to get into that. We're meeting very importantly on Saturday at almost the highest level, and we'll see how it works out. Please.
How do you ensure, Mr. President, that these tariffs don't drive U.S. trading partners into the hands of the Chinese?
I'm not worried about it. If they want to be in the hands of the U.S., they don't want to be in the hands of the Chinese. And the Chinese have turned out to be really not very good at that. People that are with us, they're with us. But we cannot be taken advantage of any longer. I used to watch these deals for years. I've been talking about it for years. You know, I've been talking about it for 35 years, how our country is being ripped off. I mean, it 30 years ago it was Japan, then it was something else, then it was another group, then it was China. China's doing the best job of it, frankly. And it's just not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Said that they have offered 0-for-0 tariffs on cars and industrial goods. Is that not enough?
Well, the EU, no, it's not. The EU has been very tough over the years. I always say it was formed to really do damage to the United States in trade. That's the reason it was formed. It was formed with all of the countries from Europe, I guess most of them, not all of them, but most of them. And they formed together to create a little bit of a monopoly situation, to create a unified force against the United States for trade. So they have NATO, which is largely the same countries, and they took advantage of us dollar-wise and militarily until I got there. You know, I was able to get $600 billion from NATO, where they paid NATO, because most of these nations weren't even paying. We were paying for NATO. So we're paying them to guard them militarily, and they're screwing us on trade. So that's not a good combination. So now it's really turned around. It's the opposite. And the European Union's been very bad to us. They don't take our cars, like Japan in that sense. They don't take our agricultural product. They don't take anything, practically.
And yet they send millions of cars in a year, Mercedes-Benz, Volkswagen, BMWs. They're sending millions and millions of cars into the U.S., but we don't have a car that's been sold to the European Union or other places, but let's go for the European Union. And it's not going to be that way. It's got to be fair and reciprocal. It's got to be fair. It's not fair. We have a deficit with the European Union of $350 billion, and it's going to disappear fast. And one of the reasons and one of the ways that that can disappear easily and quickly is they're going to have to buy our energy from us because they need it. They're going to have to buy it from us. They can buy it. We can knock off $350 billion in 1 week. They have to buy and commit to buy a like amount of energy. And we have that. You know, we have more energy than any country in the world. I don't know if you know that. This, he knows everything. But the one thing he may not know, we have more energy than any country in the world. We have more of every kind of energy, every form of energy, from oil and gas to coal. And people talk about, I call it beautiful, clean coal. As you know, Germany is opening up a coal plant a week. They tried the windmills and it didn't work. They tried all the other solutions and they were ready to go out of business. Now they're doing a coal plant a week. China is now up to two coal plants. They're opening two major coal plants every single week in China, all over China. And then we're not allowed to use coal. Well, we have clean, beautiful coal more than anybody else. We have oil and gas more than anybody else. We have the most energy of any country in the world, including Saudi Arabia, including everybody, by a lot. And I took it to number one. We were number three, and I took it to number one during my administration. And the reason that we were hurt so badly and the reason that we went into such incredible inflation during Biden is energy. It was also their bad spending, but energy. Because they played around with this incredible thing that we had built, this administration had built, and the energy costs went through the roof. And when that went up, everything else followed. Now, if you look at what's happening, you're going to see this today. I said, we're going to try and get groceries down, right? An old-fashioned term, but a beautiful term. Eggs. So when I got in, the press went absolutely crazy the first week. They said, eggs have quadrupled in price. I said, I just got here. Tell me about it. And Brooke Rollins and our team did a great job. And eggs are down now 79%, and they're all over the place. And this was a problem that somebody else would have taken a long time to cure. We have energy is down. We have interest rates are down. We have groceries, meaning food is down. We have everything is down at levels that nobody ever thought possible. Energy looks like it's going to be in the $2.50 a gallon range and maybe below that for a car. So for gasoline. So we're really doing amazing. I mean, we're cutting prices because prices got so high people couldn't live. I mean, the prices for groceries, the prices for standard groceries, standard things were going through the roof. They couldn't live. And now those prices are coming down. So call them groceries. But that's down. Energy's down. And interest rates are down. Everything's down. And the interest rates, the beauty there is when we refinance debt, you know, debt's become such a big factor in this country. We're going to start paying debt off with tariffs and other things. But it's such a big factor because the interest rate's so high. Well, now that's coming way down. So our budget's going to look a lot better because interest costs are way down. And I guess I've done that.
Many Israelis are watching you now on live show. What is your specific way of getting the hostages out from the horrific captivity?
We are trying very hard to get the hostages out. We're looking at another ceasefire. We'll see what happens. But we want to get the hostages out. The Israeli people want the hostages out more than anything. They want the hostages out. This man is working very hard with us to do that. I mean, I don't know. I hope he's being appreciated because he's been a great leader. He's working very, very hard on the hostages and many other things. And there are plenty of things you have to work on. It's a tough place in the world.
Isn't I have
it?
A good partner.
Yeah, you do have a good partner, and so do we. We're working very hard on the hostages.
If you're going to negotiate a new deal in Iran, with Iran, can you elaborate how it's going to be more effective than the JCPOA?
Well, I can't really say that, but I think it'll be different and maybe a lot stronger. But they were so happy when we made that first deal because we did get a lot out. You know, I had people right in this office, this beautiful Oval Office. They came in, 10 people, hostages, you know that. And I said to them, so how was it? And the stories they told me, I mean, as an example, I said to them, was there any sign of love? You were there, 10 people. It's only 10, but it's pretty representative. Did the Hamas show any signs of, like, help or liking you? Did they wink at you? Did they give you a piece of bread extra? Did they give you a meal on the side, like, you know, you think of doing? Like what happened in Germany, what happened elsewhere. People would try and help people that were in unbelievable distress. They said no. I said, all of them. I said, did they ever wink at you, like, you'll be okay? You're going to be okay? No, they didn't do that. They'd slap us. The hatred is unbelievable. And the lives, you know, they lived in a pipe, not really a tunnel, it was a pipe. And they always thought they were suffocating, they were going to suffocate. And then they'd open up the pipe, and it was like 3.5 feet high. This isn't, you know, we hear tunnels bad, but pipes are worse. And the stories I heard were incredible. But I just said, was there any sign of potential love or affection? And there were none whatsoever. It was amazing to me. There was nothing like, here, take this, it's a little extra meal or something. They lived like hell. I don't know. They seemed to be, they were amazing to me because they seemed to be pretty normal. They weren't scarred. But I guarantee underneath they have to be scarred. And one was there for 356 days. Another was there for about 180 days, you know, a long time. These are people that have been really, really horribly treated. I've never seen anything like it, actually. I was very surprised to hear the answer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, are there two or three countries that on your list that you feel are farther along in getting their tariffs lowered?
I think there are many that want to get rid of tariffs right now. European Union, I mean, as badly as they've treated us, they've brought their car tariffs essentially off. I guess they brought it down to 2.5, and I hear maybe to nothing. But it's not only tariffs, it's non-monetary tariffs. It's tariffs where they put things on that make it impossible for you to sell a car. It's not a money thing. They make it so difficult, the standards and the tests. They drop a bowling ball on the top of your car from 20 feet up in the air, and if there's a little dent, they say, no, I'm sorry, your car doesn't qualify. When the same car from Germany or anything would dent likewise, unless you can have an army tank, it's going to dent. So they come up with rules and regulations that are just designed for one reason, that you can't sell your product in those countries. And we're not going to let that happen. Those are called non-monetary barriers. They make barriers that are so tough that it's impossible to qualify. So tariffs are a big part of it, but there's another big part of it, and that's barriers. They also do something else. They manipulate their currency, and they drive it down. They want to drive it. They want to have low currencies. You know, it sounds better to have a high currency, a strong dollar or whatever, but they bring their currency down. And when it competes with our currency, it's very hard to sell a tractor. It's very hard to sell product, because their currency is low and ours is much higher, relatively. And so it makes it very hard. I speak to a lot of companies that do business, tractor companies, and they say it's so hard to sell because what they've done is they've lowered the yen or they've lowered the yuan or they've lowered their currency so that it's very hard to compete. We don't want that either. So we have a lot of things that we're talking about, but we're going to fix it properly. And it's going to be fair to everybody. And in the end, I think we're going to have a world that does a lot better. You know, but they have to respect the United States. And nobody but me would do this. Nobody but me would do this. You know, it would be nice to serve a nice, easy term. But we have an opportunity to change the fabric of our country. We have an opportunity to reset the table on trade. We lose billions of dollars. We lose close to $2 trillion a year in trade. We lose $1 trillion a year to China. A trillion. We lose hundreds of billions of dollars a year on trade to China. We lose hundreds of billions of dollars overall, probably close to $2 trillion. Why would we do that? Number one, why would we do that? And then you have to say, is it sustainable? Then you hear about all of the people that say, well, deficits. If we have a deficit with the country, or if the country has a big surplus with us, like China has a massive surplus that they take and they spend on their military. Well, we don't want that. I don't want them to take $500, $600 billion a year and spend it on their military. I don't want them spending money on their military. And I shouldn't have to spend money. We shouldn't have to spend it either. Because, you know, hopefully, and I said this to President Xi, hopefully it's money that we're never going to use. In other words, because we're not going to use those incredible weapons that we have and that they have. We don't want that. So it's going to be very interesting. It's the only chance our country will have to reset the table. Because no other president would be willing to do what I'm doing or to even go through it. Now, I don't mind going through it because I see a beautiful picture at the end. But we are making tremendous progress with a lot of countries. And the countries that really took advantage of us are now saying, please negotiate. You know why? Because they're getting beaten badly because of what's happening. They're getting beaten badly. They're being devalued as countries. But it's the only chance we're going to have to reset the table on trade. And when we do, we're going to come out unbelievably well. We're going to have a strong country economically again. And we're going to have those factories that are empty all over the United States. We've lost 90,000 plants and factories. Think of this. 90,000. You wouldn't think it's possible. 90,000 plants and factories since NAFTA, which was, by the way, the worst trade deal ever developed, ever had by any country anywhere, NAFTA. And I terminated NAFTA. Everybody said it would be impossible. And I terminated it through Congress. We terminated it. You had to get it through Congress. It was a trap. It was a horrible thing. And we got it done. And we went to the USMCA, which was much better. The problem is they cheat. They cheat like crazy. Canada cheats. Mexico cheats. Just one of those things. But we are resetting a table, and we're going to have great trade. And we're going to have a very strong country. Our country is going to be at a level that it has maybe never been, or maybe, you know, our country was the strongest, believe it or not, from 1870 to 1913. You know why? It was all tariff-based. We had no income tax. Then in 1913, some genius came up with the idea of let's charge the people of our country, not foreign countries that are ripping off our country. And the country was never... relatively, it was never that kind of wealth. We had so much wealth, we didn't know what to do with our money. We had meetings, we had committees, and these committees worked tirelessly to study one subject. We have so much money. What are we going to do with it?
All right, President speaking in the Oval Office. We're going to pause it for you, take a quick break. It's Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Obviously, this is a very, very big deal, impactful day. The Dow is down. I'll tell you how the markets are responding to all this. We'll continue. We're just going to pause it. Don't go anywhere. Coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
President Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu taking questions at the White House. Now it's paused. We'll pick it up at 4 o'clock. I'm just going to catch you up real quick on what we've heard. So Netanyahu said we're going to eliminate any tariffs on the United States. Any barriers to trade on the United States. The president thanked him, did not, at least as of now, yet announce reciprocity for that. He said that he was going to continue with this tariff policy and saying that we've been ripped off by tariffs from other countries. And that's kind of where things were. They also touched on a couple of other subjects as well. There are other countries coming to the table to negotiate. Vietnam, the EU, and there's been some other developments, too, since I got on the air in terms of countries who are looking to come to the White House and negotiate on President Trump. And then the other big news around all of this, obviously, and that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, is that China, if China announces these reciprocal trade, these reciprocal punishing tariffs on the United States, then the president will then impose 50% tariffs on them in response. So that's what is happening before our eyes right now. And we're watching all this. And obviously, the markets are kind of all over the place. The S&P and the NASDAQ dipped back into the green for a minute or two. They're back down in the red. The NASDAQ's back in the green, though. So that's good. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average is in the red, but the S&P 500's in the red, but the NASDAQ's in the green. The NASDAQ's been, and now it's in the red again. So it's kind of been like that all day. Not nearly the catastrophic Black Monday that Jim Cramer was predicting on Friday, although now he's denying that he was predicting that, but I was literally watching as he was making those predictions on, those very dire predictions on Friday, but not nearly anything close to that. So the president's saying virtually every country wants to negotiate, and they're sending teams to the United States to negotiate. So that's good. And the hope here, of course, is that all of this results in freer, fairer trade, and that would be an incredible outcome. That's what we want to see, obviously. So trade barriers removed that other countries impose on us, like our cattle ranchers, and they're able to compete, our shrimp farmers, and they're able to compete, and our automakers are able to compete. And that's, if that happens and this results in free, fair trade, if everybody wins, then everybody's going to be happy. The market will go crazy and rally, and that would be a good thing. In the meantime, market's in the red. Well, the NASDAQ's back in the green. That's what I mean. It's like red and green and red and green. It's like that game when you're kids, red light, green light. All right, we'll bring you right back to the White House as this is continuing on. This is obviously very important to hear the president speaking about tariffs again. You're not going to miss a second of it. We'll just come right back. I do want to tell you about Natural Lawn of America. One of the things that sets them apart is their incredible customer service. So if you have any issues with your lawn, you're going to reach out to Natural Lawn of America, and they're going to take care of them for you because their entire approach is personalized for your lawn. That means greener grass with fewer weeds guaranteed. And their safer approach to lawn care is really important, especially if you've got kids or you got pets. Right? So you got kids or pets, you want a safer approach to lawn care. That's why I want to use Natural Lawn of America, because they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green, organic fertilizers, safer weed and insect controls. They make sure your lawn thrives naturally season after season. It's eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of, and it works. I'm telling you, because I've been using them for years, the lawn really gets that lush, thick green lawn that you're looking for without the weeds. Plus, they're going to seed your lawn every year for free when you call 1-800-FREE-SEED. 1-800-FREE-SEED. So choose My Lawn Care Company. I've been with them for years. They're local, family-owned, and they'll take great care of you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.